try again.
Give me the flats at dawn with plenty of tailing fish
and the perfect fly rod.
Yeah.
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man.
I got one.
Oh, damn, I got him. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Hey, it's Thursday night, 8 o'clock. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger, and welcome aboard. It's March 1st, and just by our spot there from the Bonefish and Tarpon Trust, it's not only Bonefish Tarpon, but they also are looking at permit and some other stuff. And so they've got a new option for becoming an affiliate. It's a little bit cheaper this year, and they give away some great trips to the folks. So check it out, tarbone.org, and it's on our webpage at kayakfishingradio.com. So they're doing good work. Kind of quiet start to tonight. The chat room's filling up. We got the big fly reel, Imperial Revisionist. City of Ash, welcome aboard, LGB. A couple of guests in there, Greg Hammerhead Crisp, the Loziers, Mark and Chris, VB Javacek, and Steve Chapman, our buddy from Fishing Florida Radio. Welcome aboard. Joining me here on Buzzards Row is my freshwater buddy, the green fish catcher, the rip-lipping Mark Landing Crew Wheeler. Hey, Mark, what's going on, man?
What's going on, buddy?
It's freaking like 74 degrees here in the ATL, and we're expecting, you know, some more thunderstorms and stuff about 02 in the morning, I guess, so. It's crazy. The weather is just absolutely crazy down here. So, did you guys get any of that weather last night?
We lucked out. We didn't get all of the weather, so.
It kind of went south of you, maybe?
Actually, for Virginia Beach area, it went north. So, heard the booms in the bay, but nothing else. A little sprinkle here and there, but we lucked out.
Okay. Cool. Well, we're waiting on a special guest supposed to show up this evening, and we'll get going there. Oh, Pop just showed up in the chat room. What's up, Dad? And hopefully you guys made it okay with the weather over there. Let me see what my list is up here. Boondoggle video, man. I saw the first 15 minutes. Rob is working diligently to complete it. I was very surprised. I wasn't surprised. The guy's an artist, but he's really kind of showing his forte. I mean, as much as Chuck was the swag king, Rob is really working the bolt when it comes to putting this video together. He's doing a really nice job. I saw the first 15 minutes, and it's coming out really well. And he's really taking the time. I mean, the transitions from one video clip to another are. They really look professional and stuff, so hopefully we'll be seeing some of that. He's not going to rush. I told him to take his time because it's looking good. As soon as that comes out, we'll let everybody know where you can find it. That'll be coming.
I'd rather Rob take his time and put out an excellent video to, you know, do things right than, you know, rush through it and just be, you know, so-so, excuse me.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely, you know, I don't want to rush the artist, you know. It'd be like something that I do, you know, take all my time, you know, and all that, and then the last 2 minutes is like junk, you know, because I just threw it together. So, but I mean, he's you know, cleaned up all of the visuals as far as the lighting and everything goes, so it all works smooth, you know, it looks you can't tell when it goes from one type of camera to the other because there were several kinds. There were, well, he had that one camera that he just got. I forget what it's called now, but it's kind of like a different kind of GoPro. Then there were GoPros.
Swan.
Yeah, the Swan. And then the GoPros. And then Adam had that other thing that was on his kayak. And so it's all coming together real good. So hopefully that'll all be good. And, hey, guess what? You know, we get it done. There's that paddling film festival thing. We can submit it for. There's a category for that. So that will be cool.
Yep.
So I was when I on the way back from the Boondoggle, we stopped at the Big Fly Reels house there, and we dropped off a couple of boats at his place. And Haywood came over and saw him, and he actually passed on to me some samples of some fins braid. Haywood is one of the guys, one of the, kind of their pro staff thing. So he passed on a couple of sleeves of that, and I'll be giving it out to some folks here. And I believe that this is the Imperial Revisionist. Is that you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well.
Yeah, Skype's crashing and burning tonight. So
is it really?
The direct dial thing, and try that, yeah.
Maybe that's the deal, right? We'll call you the Empery, right? Imperial Revisionist.
Nice, thanks.
Yeah, your music, break out a little bit of Courvoisier. Actually, that wasn't it.
Yeah, between that and the Billy D last night, it was...
Yeah, the Billy D.
My identity
is
straight. I'm getting a little confused.
There you go. Break out the Courvoisier. Yeah. Little smoking jacket and stuff.
I'm afraid to go back and listen to the podcast.
But it's cool. But anyways, I was just reminiscing or going over the events of the day on our return from the Boondoggle. And Haywood gave me some samples of the Finn's braid. I don't know, what braid do you use, Greg?
I've used several different. I've used was just dyed in the wool spider wire fan for many, many years.
Uh-huh.
Then I think I've got Power Pro 10 on most of the reels now.
Right.
Got something else on one of them. I've not yet tried the fins.
Uh-huh.
I've heard mixed reviews on some of the newer stuff, but I'm reserving judgment until I get it on a spool and see how badly I can mess it up.
Right. Well, I'll send you, or actually, you probably get some from Haywood there. I'll send it back to you. But
yeah,
I got
some at the same time there, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. Lozier's saying O'Hero. Is that another kind of braid? But the Finn stuff.
Yeah, and O'Hero, by the way, is local here. Well, as local as you can get, and still have stuff made overseas. Is local here to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, actually, the fins that you mentioned it, I was impressed. It is made here in the United States. And so
that
I thought...
And one of the few.
And I thought, well, you know what? I'll give it a try. Because in California, the big thing is Iserline and Jerry Brown are the big names in braid or Spectre, as they call it out there. Wheeler, what
well,
do you
course.
Use?
Of course, I mean, you get to be governor, for God's sake. You can make just about anything you want.
I don't
know?
Think that's the Jerry Brown they're talking about.
Sorry.
Yeah. Wheeler, what do you use on your reels, man? Are you a Power Pro guy or Spiderwire?
I've got mixed uses. I got Suffix on my big reels, and I've got Power Pro and Power Pro Slick 8 and Vicious and... You know, each one I find has their own little characteristics, and I've got issues, I know, whatever.
You got issues. Spider Monkey has issues, right? But yeah, Finn's is, let me see here if I can get it in here. It is made in, I closed the page. It's made here in the U.S. And they have a couple of different versions of it. But where is it? There we go. And about them. They are manufactured. Let's see, Dave Birch is there. Universally Light, where does it say? American company. I can't see where they're made, but I know it's close by somewhere. Where are they at? Here. Erlanger, Kentucky. How's that? Musprate is made by Cortland. No, not according to these guys at Finn's. So, but yeah, I thought I'd give it a try. That, you know, those samples that Haywood passed out are kind of like, you know, you can just kind of top shot them on a reel and give it a try rather than stripping everything off. Of course, they're only like 75 yards, so that's cool. I can stick it on there and work it. Who we got just showing up here? Area code 321. You're on the air with Kayak Fishing Radio.
Hey there, it's Brittany.
Brittany, do me a favor and say your last name for me.
Brittany Nowalski.
Brittany Nowalski. Yeah. And no one guessed that you were our special guest tonight. I don't know how, but Brittany is our special guest tonight. You are live right now, so.
Great. Well, I'm not able to be in front of the computer this evening to watch what everyone's typing or be able to type myself. I'm on the road. But
okay.
Just wanted to join you on the show for a little bit tonight and see if you have any questions about what we're doing for the female anglers out there.
Okay. You mean bull fish?
What was that?
I said girls fish as a question mark.
Yeah, there's actually, and, you know, being more involved professionally in the fishing industry, I got more into it last year. I realized how many women out there actually enjoy fishing, and they're not just out there sitting on the front of the bow, hanging out on the boat or on the sidelines. They're actually out there on their own and fishing and learning on their own and accomplishing a lot out there on the water.
Oh, I've been done in by some of those fish like a girl people that here in the past year. So D being one of them. So,
well, that's so, what's cool about like fishing is being female. You can kind of handle it on your own. You can take your own vessel out there and be on the water on your own. You don't need anyone to go and have your own adventure.
Yeah, that's cool. So we were just kind of getting a discussion going on some braided lines and stuff, but you're here now, so we'll get back to that in a few seconds. But Brittany, is you're the impetus behind Florida Sportswoman, is that correct?
Yes, and that started early last year, and we've grown rather quickly and have been doing really well, and I've had this idea for starting Saltwater Sportswoman just because I realize how many more women are out there that would like to participate in what we're doing but can't because we have the label Florida in front of it. So to start Saltwater Sportswoman, it makes it open for any angler out there to be in reach with us and for us to kind of put them in the spotlight on what they're doing on the water and where.
Right, and since 97% of all the water on the earth, which is about 70% of the earth, is salt water, that'll work, right? I'm
yeah,
just saying that because
we can be.
We got a ruler. He's a freshwater guy, so.
Well, we actually have freshwater sportswomen too, but that's going to be on hold for a while until I get the saltwater division rolling, like the Florida sportswomen.
Only 3% of the water is fresh. Don't waste your time. 97% of salt water is bigger fish, too. They all have teeth.
I have plenty of freshwater anglers that reach out to me, and they're like, please put something for freshwater women out there. So
yeah.
I have it on the back burner for now.
I'm just joking. So you kicked off Saltwater Sportswoman just here recently, right?
Yeah, just within that started in February, and what our goals are is just the same with Florida Sportswoman, just kind of feature what the female anglers are doing around the world at this point, you know, just outside of Florida. And we are looking to do an area publication with the Saltwater Sportswomen, so people in different areas who have writers can start their own area publication with Saltwater Sportswomen.
Cool. So you want them to submit articles and stuff like that, right, about what they're doing and fishing and stuff?
Yeah, and we travel too. Like, if there's a tournament where there's a women's team or there's a female angler that would like us to follow them for the day or during a tournament, we will come out, and they don't have to pay for anything. We just come out and we follow them, take pictures, get a story, and it'll go out in the publication and then through the website as well.
Mm-hmm.
If they have any sponsors too, that'll help to highlight their sponsors or any companies they work with, or if they're a charter like D, we can recognize any charters that they're associated with.
Uh-huh. Well, that's pretty cool. So what got you started? Are you a photographer or are you a computer person? How did you get started with Florida Sportswoman first and now Saltwater Sportswoman?
Well, I've always been involved with fishing my whole life. My dad was a commercial fisherman when I was younger. So I've always been around fishing. And when I got finished with college, I went to school originally to teach biology, so I have a degree in biology education, but then that's when all the schools were being closed down and teachers let go, and so it isn't really a good time right now to be a teacher, so I had to kind of reach out and be a little more creative with what I was going to do with myself, and I thought, well, what do I love to do? And, first thing was being out in the water and fishing, and so it kind of spun out of control, and now I'm here.
Cool. So from a teacher, now you're running this, and so Florida Sportswoman was first, and you get any? I gotta ask you, because I looked at Florida Sportsman today, and a big picture of Linda Cabot in there with her tarpon there from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think you've got some of that on your new Saltwater Sportswoman too. But how do the women submit their photos and stuff like that? You want them, if it's Florida, you want them to do one or the other?
So it's up to them. If they're in Florida, they can go through the website, which is floridasportswoman.com, and they can start their own photo album and name it whatever they would like to name it. And if they just wanted to start with, like, maybe like five pictures, or even if it was one picture, and then they can log back in and add on to their own photo gallery as, you know, they take new pictures. So they can keep up with that on their own. And then whenever we see new pictures up, we promote, you know, that the pictures have been submitted through, like, our Facebook and other social media outlets. And we have photo contests that go on. And if they have a story of an awesome day they had out on the water, they can send us that information, and we'll do a little write-up of their day on the water with some pictures.
Right. And are you going to are you sponsoring, like, any fishing teams or any women in tournaments or anything like that right now, or is that on the future?
Yes, we have been looking into putting our own women's team together, and I've had a couple different groups reach out to us who wanted us to sponsor one angler or like a group of three or four anglers, so we'll definitely do that. They just have to get out to us through email, through the website, and let us know what the events are that they're doing, and like if it's a circuit or a one-day tournament or whatever it is, and as long as you have the contact information, and we will sponsor anglers or teams, so we will definitely do that. I think I lost you guys. I'm going to hang up and try again.
No, you're good. You're good.
No, you're still there.
That's me. Greg, you got to jump in there and say, mute button.
I was about to. I had to turn mine off first.
Yeah, he had to turn his mute button on. No, I was going back to your experiences in fishing. Have you fished competitively, Brittany?
I have done several tournaments. Most of them are offshore tournaments, ranging anywhere from like the FKA, the Southern Kingfish Association type tournament, to just, you know, a one-day tournament locally where I'm at. And I'll travel and do events down in the Keys or Miami. I was in Miami last weekend doing a sailfish tournament, and then a couple weekends before that, another ladies tournament. So I travel all year long and do different tournaments, and then we started our seminars this month. So those will be hosted at Strike Zone here in Melbourne, Florida, where we'll have guest speakers come in and talk about various fishing subjects.
Cool. And I mean, now the women that I know that are big time into it. I mean, we've got our own co-host of the Tuesday night. Actually, Mark is really kind of the co-host. Chris runs everything. But,
his wife, right?
Yeah, that's right. So Chris kind of runs everything, but they host on Tuesday night for Kayak Fishing Radio, and then I've had the pleasure and, you know, great honor to fish with Dee Kaminsky. She's a maniac when it comes in. And just this two weekends ago, we were down in Chokoloskee, Florida, and I got the opportunity to fish with Gene McElroy, another just maniac when it's out on the water, when she's out on the water. I mean, she fishes hard. I mean, fishes harder than most guys I know, other than our own
right.
Spider Monkey, Mr. Mark Wheeler there. I don't know if you know Mark, but...
I haven't met him yet.
He's a maniac. I mean, he fills up a tackle box, and by the end of the day, everything in the tackle box is sitting in his lap, you know, because he's tried everything to fish. I mean, even if he's catching fish, he tries something else. So
constantly.
You talking about me?
Out.
Yeah, I'm talking about you, Mark.
I've had the chance to fish with Dee a couple times, and she is awesome to fish with.
She is. She's intense. She yells at me because I talk too much. So, but yeah, she's a great fisherman and or fisherwoman or fisherperson, however you want to call it. Now, I'm gonna push the envelope here just a little bit, Brittany. You guys, how much heat do you take? Because a lot of the pictures, you know, like there's previously, you know, women in fishing magazines have always been scantily clad and holding fish and all that, and people go, well, somebody handed them the fish and took their picture and stuff. So
right.
How are you fighting that? Because I know women catch fish. I've been out fishing
right.
by plenty
well,
of them. So.
I think that I go through every single picture that we get.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it first before it even goes on our website or on our Facebook page. And I think it's pretty easy to tell almost by, you know, just the look of the picture, you can tell who, you know, really was out there catching the fish and who's just out there to kind of, you know, get the attention and probably didn't catch the fish. And what we're trying to stay away from is that whole look of I just pulled a fish out of a cooler and I want to hold it and have everybody look at my picture. So
right,
we're
right.
trying to make it where we want every type of female angler, whether they just started fishing this past weekend or if they've been fishing for their whole life, I want them all to feel comfortable to send in their stories, pictures. I want them to feel comfortable to ask questions and not make it an intimidating atmosphere like some of the other, you know, magazines and websites that there are out there. So
right.
we want, you know, I would try to make anything where my mom would feel comfortable sending in a picture and, you know, make it a welcoming community.
It's really not fair because, I mean, I'm looking at Saltwater Sportswoman right now, the Facebook page and stuff, and you couldn't post that many pictures of us guys because, I mean, we would chase away people from your site. So, but it looks good. Joining us now right now is Redfish Chuck Levi. I don't know if you know him, Brittany. I think you do. But hey, Chuck.
Yes, hi.
Did you call in to say something, Chuck?
I'm here. Sorry about that. That mute button got me.
It's Zach Brown.
Ha! going on?
I swear, man, I didn't know who Zach Brown was, and that commercial came on the other night, and I about fell out of my chair. I'm like, it's Chuck. He's on a commercial with Jack Daniels.
Yeah. You know when I recognized him? It was down at Chokoloski. His toes were in the water.
His toes were in the water? Yeah. So.
Toes in the sand?
Toes
not
in
a worry in the world?
Is that the song?
Just
I don't
cold
know.
Beer in your hand? Life was good today.
Life is good today.
All right. So, Brittany, what's coming up? What do you got going on in the next couple of weeks and stuff? Where can people find you and stuff if they want more information?
Well, this month, what we have coming up, which would be a great way for us to meet some of the new people that want to get involved forward, and we have our seminar that will be on March 28th, I believe, at the Strike Zone. And we're leaving it open for everybody to come out and say hi. And we have a speaker talking about Tarbin tactics. And then I'm trying to get Dee to come out and be our speaker for April. So we'll see if she'll come out and do that for us.
Cool.
Oh, no. Sorry.
I'm sorry, what? Oh, you were just telling somebody no, don't. Don't knock
that
over.
My youngest is eating my $249 pair of Costa Del Mar sunglasses.
Oh, okay. Cool. It's like Russ, he had his puppy on the back of his kayak and it chewed off the handles off his Citica. So that's what happens when you have your dog on your kayak. You got the rods back there. But if Costas taste good, let him have them, man. Can call into Florida Fish in Florida Radio and maybe try to win a new pair. So in the chat room, we've got Captain Mike Ortego and Steve Chapman of Fish in Florida Radio, and they're making comments in there. Chris Lozier is in there. She says she can land fish, so she needs to put her stuff in there.
I would love for her to send some pictures over or a story, or even we have a video section too, where I know some of the anglers like to use their GoPro or their video cameras and they can upload a video. We'll definitely post that
cool.
as well.
Alright. So good. Alright, so when you went down and you were fishing with the native folks and Dee and Vicky, Was that your first time fishing in kayaks, or have you fished kayaks before?
I have a recreational kayak where I go out on my own, and I'll try to do a little bit of fishing from the kayak. I'm just so used to fishing on the boat. It's so different. You're so much closer to the water, and the angles seem different, and everything seems so different. So I've only been out a couple times. I've been out with Chuck fishing, and that was with Dee also. That was, like, I think it's 8 or 10 hour a day. And then the next time with Vicky and Dee, and that was another 10 hour day. And I learned a lot, and just learning to feel comfortable. And when I went out with them and the native group, my one big goal for the day was to get up and stand, because I have this huge fear of falling for some reason off the kayak. And so that was my goal, and at the end of the day, I was standing up, cruising around on a paddle board, so that was pretty awesome, and finally got that comfortable feeling out there.
So do you think you're going to, keep kayak fishing and as part of the game for you, or are you going to stick with your flats boat and stuff? Actually, most of the pictures I see of you, you're holding big sailfish and dolphin and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're an offshore person.
I would love to. Well, yeah, just because it's just a huge adventure. But I know you can. What I would like to try to do once I get even more comfortable with kayaking is take the kayaks off shore a little bit, or like near shore, near the beach area, and start fishing out there. And but that's probably going to take a little while to feel more comfortable. But I love to, land a big tarpon out there off the beaches in a kayak. I'm sure that's quite an adventure.
Yeah. Get a Mariner or a Hobie, with the pedals and stuff in it. kind of makes it a little bit easier offshore instead of having to deal with the paddle. You know, you can just pedal and keep yourself in position and stuff. But Chuck, sounds like a mothership trip, man.
Yeah, I'm game. I got Brittany knows how to get a hold of me. I've been talking to a bunch of guys lately about it. In fact, today I had a conversation with a charter captain who is more than eager to get a couple kayaks off the beach now that the cobias are starting to show up. So,
how about that, Britt? You game for cobia in a kayak?
Yeah, it might be a little tough at first, but I think just the adventure of being out there and going for a little bit of a ride, I think that would be awesome.
I tell you, I probably, for an offshore thing, I would probably try to go after dolphin or triple tail or cobia or something. The first offshore trip I went in a kayak chasing fish was with Steve Gibson over on the West Coast, and we were chasing mm-hmm. tarpon for the day and off the beach there. And that was a lot of paddling. it was a lot of work, you know, and tarpon fishing, of course, you know, about one out of every 10 hookups, or at least one out of every 10 hits, you may get a hookup. So.
Right. But, yeah, they're a little tricky, but once you get them on, I've caught a couple that are well over the 100, 150 mark, and they do not give up. I mean, as soon as they come up out of the air for that jump and they get a little bit of air, it's like starting from square one again with them.
Get that gulp, and it's like you just go, man, I could see the leader, and now it's gone. Yep.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Anybody in the chat room, give them a chance to, because there's kind of a delay in the chat room sometimes. So if anybody's got questions for Brittany or anything like that, well, we appreciate you joining us tonight, Brittany. And I'm watching, and we keep sending folks, and we've got a lot of women that have come out and started fishing and kayak fishing and stuff. We'd like to invite you to our next boondoggle. If we have some mini ones coming up, somebody was just talking.
Yes, I would love to do that because I missed the last one. I wanted to go, and Chuck told me about it, and then I had the boat show to go to down in Miami.
Right.
But I would love to do something like that or try to get some kind of maybe event going where we have like a women's day where they come out and try some different kayaks to they're not really sure what type of kayak works best for them. So I have a lot of people, I'll send deep referrals with women to ask me questions about kayaking, and I'll just send them right to her. But just to have a day where women can try different ones out and ask questions, and because, you know, there's not very many places where you can go and just try out, you know, the kayaks without just looking in a store at them. So it's kind of intimidating when you're looking around, not really sure what to pick out or what's best.
Right. And then, we had probably 50 kayaks there in Chukaloski for the weekend, and there was plenty of, it kind of delayed our launch time, but we don't ever, you know, we, like I said, I like to talk, and anybody comes up and asks us about, you know, our equipment or something like that, and there's plenty of different styles of rigging and all that kind of stuff. So that'd be really cool. Mm-hmm. So maybe a little mini boondoggle or something there to, Mosquito Lagoon. And actually, one of the guys in the in yakangler.com is one of our, is our kind of our sister website there. And mm-hmm. he was calling it a goondoggle. So maybe we need to do a goondoggle and head over to Mosquito Lagoon. How's the fishing over there, Chuck, right now?
Fishing's about to get absolutely crazy. The springtime bite is on in full force. The river is loaded up with finger mullet like I've never seen it in the beginning of March, and it's going to be crazy here shortly. The only problem with a goondoggle is, unfortunately, with high temperatures, we're going to be dealing with the true meaning of Mosquito Lagoon, and I don't know of anywhere where we can camp anywhere near the lagoon and not get absolutely destroyed by mosquitoes, so we'll have to figure that out.
I wouldn't camp around the lagoon. I would just stay in a hotel like I normally do when I go there and drive out.
That'd
to
be
the
cool
lagoon.
To get 55 kayakers to like take up a whole block of a hotel. That'd be pretty fun. Get like the ballroom or whatever set aside for us.
Yeah. So, but Brittany, our next major boondoggle is going to be a little bit of a drive, but we're going to be in Virginia Beach and on Columbus Day weekend in October. So.
Oh wow! How many total people were at this last one?
For Saturday night, that was kind of our big night. We had a big dinner, and Chuck was our big swag collector. He got all kinds of supporters to. He had like five tables full of swag, T-shirts and riggings and stuff like that.
I was watching that on the Facebook. He did really well with that, so hopefully it'll keep up for the next one.
He is. He's like a little pack rat, right? But yeah, we had I think 50 for dinner on Saturday night, and then I think we had a little maybe a little over 40 for Sunday night when we had our Low Country Boil, but. That's kind of the MO, and we're thinking that the boondoggle in Virginia Beach is going to be huge because we'll have folks like I've got commitments from Rob Choi and well, the Loziers will be there, of course, First Landing Guiding Service, and we'll have Kayak Kevin is supposed to show up and fish with us, and I think Chad Hoover from Not Right Fishing is going to actually show up and fish with us one or two days there. So it's probably going to be pretty big. We're going to be staying at First Landing State Park up in Virginia Beach. So if you can make
it. Wow, that sounds awesome. If you guys, as soon as you get a flyer going or it's a little bit more detailed, just email it to me and I'll share it on our Facebook and our website and hopefully try to add a couple more ladies to the event.
Yeah, we had paddling fan Jerry was there with her husband. We had Snake Girl, she's our newest boondoggler from Charleston. This was her second boondoggle, and her husband Stan, he's the harbor master up in Charleston, South Carolina, and they joined us and she fished. We had Chuck's wife and Chuck's friend and his wife showed up, so we had quite a few ladies out there fishing. And Jean McElroy, of course, she was out there fishing with us and stuff. And I think they all fished better than we did, too. I think your wife beat you, too, Chuck, didn't she? Chuck won't admit that, though.
Yeah,
that didn't happen, but it was good. She beat you, so that was good.
Yeah, she did. I am not proud of my fishing skills. I spend too much time talking to people. So, but the clone caught fish. That's my son, and so that's all it's about. I'm kind of always about getting him on some fish. So,
how old is your son?
He just turned 13 in January. So, but he's been kayak fishing since he was 9. He won his first kayak in a tournament, Georgia Kayak Fishing, when he was 9. So. He's always following us around and stuff, and he loves to fish. Let's see, yeah, Kayak Kevin's on board, more the merrier. Wheeler, is your wife going to join us up in Virginia Beach?
Yeah, that's the plan for right now.
That's the plan, right?
She's going to be paddling the... her new big tuna when it gets in, so.
Cool. And the local kayak fishing group is TKAA, right, Wheeler?
Yeah.
Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association.
And there are guys that are already, saying that they're going to be there from TKAA, so.
Cool.
It's going to be massive.
Yeah, so they have a tournament the weekend prior, and they'll be like, they usually have about 200 folks from what I'm reading in the chat room. So, and
wow.
Then, and we should have, I don't know if you've met her, but Dee Kelly.
No, I haven't.
Casting for Recovery. She's the one of the coordinators for the Jamaica Bay tournament every year. She was supposed to fish with us in Chokoloskee, but she had to leave and go back to Jersey. But we should see her up there. And also Shante, kind of the camera person for Kayak Kevin there. She should be there, too, to fish with us. So we just need Brittany to show up.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in doing that. It sounds like an awesome adventure. And definitely from your last one, it looks like something I would be interested in checking out and learning more about.
Cool. Well, I thank you for joining us tonight. I'm not kicking you off. You're welcome to stick around and throw your 2 cents in, but...
Yes, I'm actually approaching the store now. I'm going out offshore in the morning, so I'm heading out to get a couple last-minute items before the morning gets here. And
some leader and some hooks and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, sunblock.
Some beer and
a
ice.
Couple other things.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'll keep in touch with your shows. Over the weeks, I always try to tune in, and with Chuck's show also, and I appreciate you having me on. And I wish you luck for the rest of your shows this evening.
Thanks. And, Brittany, before you go, give us some contact information. So you got your Facebook pages, right? And go ahead and rattle them off.
The easiest way is just to go to either of the websites, which is Florida, which is spelled out, and then sportswoman.com. And then the other one is Saltwater Sports Women with an E. And either one you can reach me. And again, my last name is Novowski, so you can look me up and friend request me through Facebook and ask me questions or get in touch with me through there.
Cool. Well, thanks again. And by the way, the ink is awesome.
Oh, my back.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get covered. My last edition was that little hook I added to my neck, but thank you very much. It definitely reflects my passion for the water, so I'm glad when people appreciate it.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, all right, well, good luck tomorrow. Tight line.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good night out there.
Thanks, Brittany.
All right, bye.
Bye now. Cool. You guys still there? Wheeler?
Yeah.
All right.
Bueller.
Bueller?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So we're going to go back to the discussion before Brittany showed up about braids and your spinning gear or whatever. So what's in your crate there, Wheeler?
Say that again.
Okay, what kind of reels do you use? How many reels you carry out with you, and what's spooled up on them?
Oh, man. I'm going to be here a while.
No, just give me four, man. That's all.
just four? Well, my two Corrados, depending if it's one at least 287, left hand, and my 300 EJ. And they're spooled, the 300 EJ spooled with, Suffolk 60 pound or 65 pound. The 200 E7s are spooled with 30 pound, Super Slick 8. The, Daiwa Strike Force is spooled with, 12-pound vicious fluorocarbon, and then that's my lipless crank rod, and then my last one we'll make it a spinning. That's it's gonna be the Penn Fierce 300 or 3000 series with 20-pound vicious braid. Woo. You there?
Mute button.
Chuck.
Yep.
what are you carrying with you?
On a typical adventure, I use Shimano Stratic CI4 2500s, or Shimano Seros 3000. Both of those are spooled up with 10-pound Power Pro. And I guess my big stuff, like what I'm going to be using this summer offshore, I've got a Shimano Saragossa 8000 spinning reel spooled with 40-pound Power Pro.
Okay. And Greg had to run, so. You know, I was, I had been, now that I've looked at that fins, I'm going to try that on a couple of my rods. But Greg's saying he likes the goondoggle idea, so maybe we'll see what we can get going here. But anyways, so yeah, I thought I'd give that fin stuff a try and see what I could do with it. I have been running the two spinning rods that I have been carrying are those the Shimano bait runners. I like those for when just, you know, soaking bait and stuff because of the bait runner feature on it. But I had been really wary of using braid because of experiences with the early Power Pro and the wind knots and all that kind of stuff. But the coatings and stuff that I'm seeing now on some of the Super Lions is really taking care of some of that. And so I had tried, when I went back to it, I tried a heavier line. I had 40-pound Power Pro on that spinning reel, and it casted pretty well. But I just was real hesitant to go back to some of that stuff that looks like spider thread, man. It's just so small and everything, and you get in, into the wind with it. So
The wind tamer from Finn's is actually kind of nice. I've used at some point or another probably just about everybody's braid. You mentioned Jerry Brown earlier, and all of my offshore stuff for the big boat, any braid I put on the reels is Jerry Brown for that, because it's spliceable, hollow core.
Right.
But the wind tamer from Finn's is actually really, really nice. And I was kind of a skeptic at first to think that somebody designed a braid that was designed to not, you know, give you wind knots. And the difference is I think that the wind tamer is slightly stiffer than the other, allowing for you to be able to cast it straight into the wind and not have to worry about all your slack line just blowing around in circles and whatnot. But for a short time, I used the Finn's braid because I had gotten a couple of promo packs, and I actually liked it quite a bit. And I would honestly, I'd probably use that over the Power Pro because I have had some bad batches of Power Pro, but I get Power Pro for free. So
yeah. And I noticed that the Power Pro in the different colors, because I like to have my line, you know, getting up in age here. I like to be able to see my line and watch what it's doing. So the greens and stuff like that, I have a hard time picking it up on the water. And so I like some of the high visibility lines, and I use long leader, long fluorocarbon leader, so I don't think it affects my fishing. But some of the different colors of the Power Pro, like the difference, the red and the yellow, they seem different. Even though they're the same test and everything, they seem different. The red tends to get waxy, I think. So City of Ashes said free Power Pro means bad batch. So, yeah. Anyways.
Well, I think you're right, because I fish Red Power Pro on my CI4 for no other reason than because I think it looks cool. But
because it matches it.
It does. It does. It matches it, which matches the wrap on the rod. You know.
It's
but
cool.
Anyway, I think you're right, though. I think there is a different. There might be some sort of a different coating on that colored stuff as opposed to just a standard green.
Yeah, and
but you know, kinda, Power Pro just came out with a hollow core too.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I like the hollow core. Like, well, the Jerry Brown and stuff, you don't see any of that. I think the smallest Jerry Brown is like 60 pounds. So, I mean, in the hollow core, if you want, like, the, you know, if you're looking to splice it together and stuff, and that's what you're doing, right? You're sticking the mono inside of it, your leader, and then you're tying it off with some twine or some floss or something.
Yeah, the same way you used to do it with old Spectra and Dacron.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Same difference.
Mm-hmm. So you can put a nice long leader, and then you tie your Bimini twist in it, and then you can wrap on your leaders on that. So,
yeah,
just for quick
learning. The Bimini. It's just you just thread it through, and so you have no knots. I use it now strictly on all my surf casting, competition casting rods. because I have no, I don't have to worry about a knot anymore. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, smooth through the guides and no issues.
Right. I use either a nail, you know, the uni to uni knots, and then trim them up real tight. And if I'm going to be real serious about it, I put a drop of super glue on it, and then it makes it nice and tight, you know, makes it easy to get through the guides. So, but anyways, I just thought I'd ask and see what folks were using and stuff. It's interesting. We'll try to, I'm going to give it a try and see what stuff works like. So,
Have you ever tried the new? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Have you ever used, or has anybody ever used the new Suffix braid that's very heavily advertised on television? I'm just curious to see if
that
if
one
anything.
The one
like
rod that
30 something or other.
That one rod that I was using to catch that stingray, man, that I handed you under the dock there.
Yeah.
That was Suffix, that orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a spool of that at a tournament, and I had put it on there. I think it was 20 pound Suffix on there. Held up pretty good until that stingray dug it through the pylon. So. But,
I was curious. I was going to ask you about what that was because I was kind of impressed. Power Pro and some of the others would have broke well before that. So.
Yeah, and that. I like that orange, man. It was kind of a good looking color, and it was easy to see and stuff. So, and it seemed to cast well. It didn't knot up or anything like that. And it was just 20 pound, so it was pretty tight. I had it on a pen. I think it was like a pen 450 or something like that. So, it worked out pretty well. It's pretty slick though. You know, you have to put a little bit of a backing on the reel. I put a piece of tape on my old pens, like electrical tape, you know, around the spool before I start wrapping the braid on top of it so it doesn't slip and stuff. So, anyways, all right. Wheeler just dropped out, so his battery must be dying. And I see that Chris has already hit the road on us, and it's been a good evening. It was nice having Brittany on board. You guys check out Saltwater Sportswoman and the new in Florida Sportswoman. So it's always a good deal. It's better than looking at pictures of me and Chuck. Chuck's always just holding fish and stuff like that. It's not really, right?
Yeah.
Are you fishing tomorrow with Hammerhead or something?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm extremely excited about fishing with Greg. I've been wanting to team up with him for a while now and just haven't been able to make it happen. And we're going to, hopefully the wind right now is actually dead. I'm standing outside and there's not a stitch of breeze, and hopefully it stays that way into the morning. But they're calling for some pretty stiff wind out of the south, and I've got a couple ideas. Greg and I had spoken earlier, and he's like, I don't care if it's windy. I don't mind paddling into it. So we'll... got some places I want to try, man, and some culverts,
cool.
stuff I want to hit and see if we can't find some redfish. Because he fished with Steve Gibson today over in Sarasota, and they tore up the trout pretty good. And I think, I don't know which one of them got a redfish, but somebody caught a redfish out of the group. And so tomorrow's redfish mission, so we'll see.
Well, he's with Redfish Chuck, so he should be able to take care of business, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's what they call it, fishing, though. All right, then. Well, we're gonna call it a night here and move on towards Friday. And we've got the Wild West tomorrow night. Remember, if you're listening to Wild West, and actually it was pretty amazing, man. They had several live listeners on their show last week because I think the time change is going to work out great for them. So they're on at 11 o'clock Eastern. That's 8 o'clock Pacific time for Fishing the Wild West. That's with Dennis Spike and Isaac the Nothing Miller. Chuck's show is on Monday. The Lozier's on Tuesdays. Wheeler on Wednesday. And you run right back into me on the next Thursday. So check them all out. Our friends at yakangler.com, if you're looking to see what's going on with the next boondoggle, it's yakangler.com/boondoggle. We'll get the links updated for Kayak Fishing Radio. And actually, we have a new domain called boondoggle.info, so maybe we'll put something on that too. I want to thank everybody in the chat room, Big Fly Reel, City of Ash, my pop is in there, the guests. Guests, next time, if you want to participate in the chat room, just sign in. The easiest way is to sign into your Facebook page and then just do that. Sign in with Facebook or your Twitter account into Blog Talk Radio, and it gets you in. Sometimes you have to wait and be patient for the chat rooms and everything to load, but you can do that at kayakfishingradio.com/live. Captain Mike Artigo, thanks for being in there. I saw Steve in there earlier. We appreciate it. Y'all check out Fishing Florida Radio on Saturday mornings, and we'll be listening in. Mr. Lozier, appreciate it. Yeah, fishing in the wind is better than ice fishing, is what Hammerhead said. And we had someone new in there, Mr. Ron Bramow. Sorry if I butchered your name, but thanks a lot. Appreciate it. City of Ash, appreciate it. We'll see you guys next time, and we'll do it all over again. Chuck, tight lines to you, man. Hope you guys catch some fish. We look forward to seeing the pictures, man.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. That'll be it. We're out, and we'll see you next week.
I'm assuming you don't speak.